Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rob Schofield. Senate President Phil Berger reiterated his opposition to Medicaid expansion this week, even as House and Senate Democrats held a field hearing to listen to North Carolinians whose lives have been affected by the state's failure to expand coverage for 500,000 uninsured North Carolinians. Robin Jordan is a nurse, a self-described conservative, and the mom of a daughter who died last year in the health coverage gap. Robin was in Raleigh this week to tell lawmakers about her daughter, a rape survivor who suffered depression and self-medicated with drugs. Robin firmly believes if North Carolina had joined the 37 other states in expanding Medicaid, her daughter would have been able to get the care she needed and would be alive today. Ms. Jordan spoke to News and Views producer Clayton Henkel about how her family has been forever changed by the legislature's refusal to expand coverage.
Well, Robin Jordan, I imagine that 2 or 3 years ago, you did not expect to be walking the halls of North Carolina's General Assembly talking about Medicaid expansion. You are an unlikely activist in this realm. Tell us a little bit about your daughter, Jessica.
Sure. My daughter, Jessica, was 32 years old when she passed away last May. She struggled with mental health and substance use disorder throughout the majority of her adult life. She had been sexually assaulted twice in her life, once at age 5 and again as a freshman in college. These traumas, of course, had great impact on her. She did not have any insurance coverage. When she left college at age 18, she was no longer on her parents' insurance, so therefore she had no coverage. As her disease processes grew over the years, she was unable to work and hold a job. Therefore, she cycled in and out of pretty much all the time of the coverage gap. As her mental health grew worse, of course, her substance use grew worse as well. She went from just early on self-medicating as a teenager with marijuana to having a full drug problem in her later years. She cycled in and out of emergency rooms, very short-term involuntary hospitalizations. Those were very short-term because she had no insurance, so they let her go as quickly as possible. And sadly, last May, she died of an accidental fentanyl overdose, and she was never able to get the help that she needed so that she could be the mom and the person that she wanted to be.
You had mentioned in the hearing today that in many ways you have tried to get her help and that the system in many ways just failed her, even though she was doing her very best to get help and to get through school and to get a job?
I do feel like the system failed her, and I saw that early on as a child, from the time she was in school needing help and could not get it on through as an adult. I mean, when she could work, she paid taxes. She paid into the system, but she couldn't get the help that she needed when she was unable to work and unable to care for herself. If she had qualified for Medicaid coverage, there's no doubt in my mind she couldn't have got into long-term treatment and got help with the dual diagnosis that she had, and she would be standing here with me today.
You're not alone in this. There are a lot of other families that are dealing with loved ones that need health care, that need mental health, and because we are still one of the few states that has not expanded Medicaid, we're not getting the help that we desperately need.
There are 150,000 plus North Carolinians right now dealing with mental health and substance use disorder illnesses that are not getting any help. I think about a young lady who was on my front doorstep the day of Jessica's funeral, and she came from out of nowhere and introduced herself to me. And she was someone that my daughter did drugs with. She was someone that she knew on the streets. And she told me her story, and it was so similar to Jessica's story. And she, too, had lost custody of a child. She, too, had burnt bridges with her family members over the years, and she was pretty much on her own. And I just thought about that young girl, and I thought about all the thousands of other young men and women that are out there struggling, and they're dying every day, and we're doing nothing about it.
The Senate President Pro Tem has said repeatedly that Medicaid expansion isn't going to happen. He worries that the federal government would change their minds midway through and not fund North Carolina's portion of this and leave North Carolina on the hook. What would you say to him?
I'm not a politician. I'm a mom. Changes happen every day. Changes we don't expect. I never expected I would be standing here today. I never expected I would have to fight this fight. So what? What if they did? What if they pulled their money away in 4 years? Is that not 4 years that we could help people between now and then? We've got to take a chance. We've got to use money that has already been allocated to us and help those that are in need while we have the chance.
What do you think would have happened if North Carolina had expanded Medicaid with the other states several years back when we first had that opportunity? How would that have changed your life? How would that have changed the life of your family?
I wouldn't have buried my daughter. She would still be here with us today. I wouldn't be advocating for Medicaid, I don't think, because I don't think there would be a need to. I think that people in need would have the coverage that they need, and we wouldn't feel the need to be here today, to have field hearings, to talk with legislators. Whether they're paying 90%, whether they're paying 80%, we need to accept those funds. Our citizens are dying. There's no excuse in us just sitting here not accepting this money.
You yourself are a conservative. And in this fight, I imagine that you're not thinking at all about politics when you think about your daughter.
No, I don't. I don't think this is a partisan issue at all, and I am a conservative. This is a people issue. These are everyone's sons and everyone's daughters and everyone's grandchildren. It doesn't matter whether you're Republican or Democrat. I can't believe that anyone would want to see someone die if there are treatments available.
There is an opportunity this session with House Bill 655 to expand Medicaid coverage. It is the conservatives' bill. There is a work requirement in it. There are some other requirements in it. Do you feel that on the opposite side, some of the Democrats who've said they want a clean Medicaid bill, that it is worth moving forward with some legislation, any legislation, this session so that we don't lose this opportunity?
I feel like the work requirement would have prevented my daughter from being able to utilize that and many, many other people. I feel like the 2% copay that has been discussed would also prohibit a lot of people from being able to utilize this. But I'm also a realist, so if that's literally the best we can get for now, it's better than no coverage at all. And we just have to keep fighting and keep moving forward.
Normally the legislature wraps up their work in June, adjourns in July once they have the budget passed. We're still in session. We're still working on this issue. There may be some that say, oh, we can't get the work done this year. We'll come back in 2020 and do it. I imagine that you would feel like that is a missed opportunity if we leave Raleigh without working out some sort of solution to the Medicaid expansion.
I would ask them, how many lives do they feel like would be lost between now and next year? And what is the value of that life? If it were their son or their daughter, would it be important enough to stay in Raleigh and come to a resolution? I believe it would be.
What's your plan moving forward? Are you hoping to talk to more legislators? Will you be making more trips back to Raleigh until we see this actually expanded?
This is not something I ever expected to do to begin with. I'll do whatever it takes. I mean, this is important. It's huge. Every time I come down here, I'm taking a vacation day from work. I'm not just sitting at home with nothing to do. I'm prioritizing taking time away from my family to be here to speak to people and let them know that these are real lives and real people. These are not numbers. These are not statistics. And families are being destroyed when their loved ones can't get the help that they need.
It's been a tough year for you. It's been a tough year for your family, but what would you like your daughter to know with regards to getting this passed? What would you tell your daughter now if you could talk to her?
Well, I do talk to her all the time, and I would like to tell her that I'm so sorry that she was failed so many times in her life, and I can't do anything to change that, but I'm going to fight really hard to help other people who are in her situation and try to make sure that their lives are changed for the better.
Robin Jordan, you're a strong lady. Thanks for taking a few minutes to talk with us today.
Thank you.
Coming up next, a new report says that Latinx voters will play an important role in next year's election, and we'll hear from one of the editors. Don't go away.